Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask you to give wisdom today, warning, faith, wisdom to escape the things to come to all of our brethren, Lord. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Well, I'm going to talk to you about the destruction of faction and apostates. And I'm going to start out with revelation given to Pamela Orr on the 15th of this January 2018. Pamela's note here is, in this dream I was not a participant, but rather an observer of two scenes. In the first scene, I was up close, and in the second scene, I was in the air at a considerable distance. An unusual element of this dream was the feeling that it engendered horror. I saw nothing horrible in itself, nothing graphic, no blood, etc. Yet, the whole time, I felt a deep horror in my spirit over what was happening. It required several hours and a short rest in bed to recover from the physical effects of this dream. In the dream, I was on the front porch of a house where I had once, in actuality, played as a child. And this house sat on Highway 18. The significance of the number 18 in the Bible comes from its symbolic meaning for bondage. That comes from a website, which we'll put the link on here for. In the dream, I wondered what had happened to my playmates, my cousins, Carmen and Robin. And after the dream, I learned that Carmen means garden in Spanish, and Robin means bright or shining. And in my physical childhood, these girls had been a bright and shining garden, so to speak, for my sister and me. They truly were our favorite playmates. But in the dream, they had disappeared. And let me say that I believe this is talking about our Christian, quote-unquote, friends that were deceived and lured into bondage and died to God. And the factious have gone mad with these demons, and their hatred and slander is spewed out everywhere. This started in the church, and now it's in the government. And which the Lord warned us was going to happen. He warned it was coming to the church, and then he warned us it was coming to the government. And all of it was very accurate. And God himself is using this to separate the most wicked of men from his people. The civil war in the government has the shadow government attempting to cause war between the United States and Russia to save them from prosecution. Now, how is that not madness? You don't think people are demon-possessed to want to start a war between superpowers? And they've tried it several times and failed by the grace of God because the saints are praying against it. The civil war in the church has the wicked attempting to spiritually kill through slander the only ones who are preaching the gospel and doing the work of the kingdom. Well, we know who Satan uses most often is it's the apostate people of God. And we know who's delivered over to faction because it's a perfect thing to separate these people from the church. The people that are delivered over are people who were hiding their sins instead of confessing and forsaking. Well, anyway, Galatians 4 and 21 says, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid, or bond woman, and one by the free woman. Howbeit, the son of the handmaid, or bond woman, is born after the flesh, but the son of the free woman is born through promise." And verse 28, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that's born after the Spirit, so also it is now." And we know there's nothing new under the sun. It's happened all the way through the Scriptures. And, you know, all the prophets were persecuted and hated and slandered by the wicked, who are supposed to be the people of God. And they're still doing it. In verse 30, "Howbeit, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the handmaid," or the bondwoman, same thing, "and her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman." Now, this will make more sense as we go on, looking at who the handmaid or bondwoman is and her children. Because the law is not the only thing that makes a person sons of the bondwoman. Sin and rebellion and go on and on makes a person a son of the bondwoman. "For the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman." Shall not inherit. My goodness, there's a stiff penalty for claiming to be Christian but not being it. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 5, these people were cast out of the body. And now it says they shall not inherit, and it says cast them out. Okay. The children of the bondwoman in this text are persecutors, who are turned over to the tormentors for their hatred, as Jesus said in Matthew 18, 34 and 35. And those who love God and His children will keep His commandments and will not fail, or they will not fall into this trap. The trap is set for those who abuse their brethren. The trap is set, and it will be successful. But it's a horrible thing. We see these people as people who are Christians around us, who, spiritually speaking, we played with when we were young, you know. But as we went on, we found out that they weren't going to go with us. And whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching hath not God. Hath not God. So there are many called, but few chosen. You know, Paul said to Timothy, speaking of God, who saved us and called us. A person gets called after they get saved. The world does not receive this call. This call is an invitation. The word means invitation. It's an invitation to partake of all the benefits of the kingdom. We can see that these people that fall away don't get the benefits of the kingdom, and that's why this judgment and destruction comes upon them. When asking about the factious, God gave us 2 Samuel 8 and 2, "And he smote Moab and measured them with the line, making them to lie down on the ground. And he measured two lines to put to death, and one full line to keep alive. And the Moabites became servants to David and brought tribute," that is, those who were kept alive, the one-third, right? And Moab here represents those who factioned and fought against their brethren. And two-thirds were reprobated, and one-third repented. And that's when we asked about it to the Lord, and He gave us that. So, back to Pam, she said, to understand the interpretation, I must write a bit about Carmen and Robin's parents, who are now deceased. I'll begin with my Aunt Bonnie. I didn't know this as a child, but after I became an adult, an older family member told me that Bonnie, my mother's sister, had a dark and even criminal past. She'd borne three older children that she had either given away or lost the rights to them. And I'm going to say that the mother of these once friends is the bondwoman slash harlot. And that's political and religious, because we can see the same thing happen in the political realm. No one said or knew much about the man or men who had fathered them, but the word prison was mentioned. That's the bond woman, bondage. I've always understood the name Bonnie to mean pretty, but today I learned the Scottish word Bonnie is actually derived from the Latin word bonus, which means good. I think Father may have used Aunt Bonnie to symbolize the time when we are in when good is called evil and evil good. I've never seen a day like this in which this is so pronounced, right? I'll provide a few verses that follow. Isaiah 5 and 20 says, Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now this is pronounced, very pronounced, I would say, in the faction movement and in the faction in the government, the so-called deep state. And the poison that they put out through their media false prophets that turn people over to Satan, to demons, to the same kind of slander and lies that they speak. Verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, that justify the wicked for a bribe, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Again, I've never seen a day like this, and neither have you, where this is so prevalent. The factious backsliders proved to be children of the bondwoman or the harlot. Revelation 17 and 5 says, and upon her forehead a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and of the abominations of the earth. So, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. So this is one who persecutes and lies to the saints. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, a persecutor. And you'll notice that the mother is the mother of all the harlot daughters, which are the false so-called Christian religions. And, of course, individual people also fall within this mother. And these have persecuted the righteous just as they did in Jesus' day, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. So says the Lord. So history is just repeating again on a larger scale. Pam said, the man whom I knew as uncle, her husband, was named Rex Howell, pronounced Howell, H-O-W-L, spelled H-O-W-E-L-L. And Howell, rhymes with foul, she said. And as I write the interpretation of this dream, Father, put on my heart the verses Isaiah 13 and 6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Isaiah 23 and 6. Pass ye over to Tarshish, howl ye, inhabitants of the isle. Let me say that the spiritual husband of the corporate harlot is the corporate false prophet. Now, the churches out there who are daughters of the harlot, the head of every one of those, the false apostate churches, is a one of the false prophets of the corporate body. We know that wolves or wild dogs who are known for howling. They are also pictures of false leaders, political and religious. We can see them. They're predators. They're trying to take down people, good people, people better than they, right? So these wolves are pictures of the false leaders, the political and religious, and the preachers and the prophets, etc. And we can see that all through the scriptures. Psalm 59 and 6, they return at evening, they howl like a dog, and go round about the city. In Psalm 59:14, and at evening, let them return. And let them howl like a dog and go round about the city. In Isaiah 52 and 5 it says, Now therefore, what do I hear, says the Lord, seeing that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them do howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually all the day is blasphemed. This is true. Blaspheme means to speak against, and the false prophets and the false leaders constantly speak against the righteous, and those in the government constantly speak against the righteous. In Ezekiel 22 and 27, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, that they may get dishonest gain. Yes, you can tell politicians go into office paupers and come out totally filthy rich. How does this happen if they're honest? And the same with preachers. How does this happen if they're honest and obey the scriptures? And Zephaniah 3 and 3, her princes in the midst of her are roaring lions, her judges are evening wolves. They leave nothing until the morrow. Matthew 7 and 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. In Acts 20 and 29, I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And so it has been. And these are always a trial and a test for the people of God. You know, the labyrinth of Babylon is one that we find our way through and out of. It is a test for those who love the Lord and keep his commandments. If you do that, you can't stay there. It won't happen. And so it's a test. Okay. And when the test is over, the rejects are rejected. Pam said in actual life, Rex Howell, unfortunately, developed an abdominal hernia. Well, now this reminds me so much of Judas, who crucified the body of Christ, also had his guts spilled out when he hung himself with his own hands, which is what all Judases do. Pam said no one ever mentioned this in his presence, but it grew and grew, and when he died, the hernia was much larger than a basketball. For years before his death, the only clothing that would fit his deformed condition were bib overalls. And I may be simplifying it, but a hernia is where there is a rip or tear in the body, so part of the body goes somewhere it's never designed to go.
Yes.
And Father is showing me that in the dream, Rex Howell represents apostasy and the corrupt doctrines and spiritual fathers who went but were not sent, so to speak. Yes, the factious shadow government of the world and the church, as you can see, is in total reprobation. Pam said, back in the dream, I'm upset that Carmen and Robin are gone. Where are they? I wonder to myself. They were nowhere to be found. Then I see paperwork or an advertisement. It's an inducement of some sort regarding giving one's children away to the government. Well, we know how that's happening. Naturally speaking, people are raising children to go into the satanic government, and they sacrifice their children and have sex with their children, for goodness sake. Sick bunch. But they're getting caught because God's people are praying. So this representing the false government in the church and the country, because the wicked people in faction are sacrificing their children too. All of their children go totally nuts when they go into faction. They could have been clean kids before, but they turn very raunchy and run off into the world and do all kinds of sort of things because that faction just destroys them. These people sacrifice their own children. I remember a man who left our local assembly, and I told him, I said, you're going to destroy your whole family with this. I told two of his children, same thing. And sure enough, they got divorced not long after that, and went into debauchery, you know. And then Pam said, I think I would never see them again. This horrified and grieved me. Well, the beast will be the destruction of the factious children. She said, then the scene changed, and I'm in the air above a water slide. And Father was showing me something in the spirit, though, because on earth there could be no water slide this large, it was several stories tall, with bays, vertical sliding sections, too numerous to count. That just seems to say that there are a lot of backsliders. The backsliders are many, sliding down the slippery slope of sin. Apostate means backslider. That's what it means. In Proverbs 14 and 14, we're told, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. In other words, whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. People who sow faction and hatred and criticism and division in the church will reap it in their own homes and in their families and in their heart. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Psalm 35 and 6 says, let their way be dark and slippery, and the angels of the Lord pursuing them. Psalm 73 and 18, surely thou settest them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction. Which is what these slides do, right? And Jeremiah 23 and 12, wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery places in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation. That is the coming of the Lord, I believe, in the man-child, says the Lord. Pam said it was curved and hilly and concaved. And after I saw that, it appeared to be a water slide. So there's the slippery places, right? And the children sliding down it thought that it was a slide. And I realized that it was really a giant drain, like an oval sink. So God is draining the swamp too. The water which slipped the sinner away is that which comes out of the mouth of the dragon beast that is swallowed by the earth, or the earthly, I should say. The wicked buy the sin. They buy the deception. The righteous don't want deception. They cry to God to keep from being deceived and to walk righteously before Him. And I believe it is faction and slander, and is so well seen now in the government and the church. And the horrifying thing was that, Pam said, that I saw multitudes, perhaps millions of children launching down from the top. We're talking about children as people, you know, like the children of God, right, are people. Launching down from the top, thinking that it would be fun. They were thinking that it was provided for their benefit. It's kind of like the prosperity movement. They think that that's the way you're supposed to live. They think it's going to be fun. It's prosperity for the flesh, right? But the end is the way of death and destruction. Hebrews 11 and 25, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Because that's how long it lasts. It doesn't last very long. Those who frolic with the allurements of the elite shadow governments or the apostate church and their pleasures have become mad by making a deal with the devil. Pam said, I was too far away, thank God, to see individual faces, but I knew that these children, like Carmen and Robin, had been given over into this thing. They would not know until it was too late that it would be their destruction. Yet, when Jesus came as a type of his coming in the man-child body of these days, he spoke in parables, just as he's doing now, for the purpose of hiding the truth from the wise and prudent and revealing them to the kingdom people. This is, in effect, a reprobation of many of those who were called the kingdom people. And Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 13:11, and he answered and he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So God had cut them off for their evil. Pam said, I asked Father for a random word on the parents that were responsible for Carmen and Robin's being given to this evil. And I received Genesis 49:5-6. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Weapons of violence are their swords. O my soul, come not thou into their council, unto their assembly. My glory, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hocked an ox. Yes, they killed a whole lot of people, actually. They slayed multitudes because of their own self-willed anger and self-righteousness. We were just given in our morning meeting Proverbs 26:24-28. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, but he that layeth up deceit within him, he layeth up deceit within him. And when he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. And though his hatred cover itself with guile, yep, they always say, I love you, I love you. But boy, I tell you, they are liars. His wickedness shall be openly showed before the assembly. And it always is. This is always true. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. Here's the thing, folks. We're headed towards a place where the wicked are laying traps for the righteous in the government and in the church. But it says that they shall fall therein themselves, right? And he that rolleth a stone, it shall return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those whom it hath wounded, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Pam said, I asked Father for a random word to summarize what he wants me to receive from this dream. And I received the passage where the king is grieved for Daniel's sake. And that was because his factious contemporaries had him thrown to the lions. And in retribution, the king destroys these people who plotted against Daniel. Listen, because this is what's going to happen. Yes, they have plotted in the church and in the government. They have plotted against people that are more righteous than they and are sent by God. And yes, they will fall into their own trap themselves. So here's the text in Daniel. But Daniel 6 and 18. Then the king went to his place, a palace, and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came near unto the den to Daniel, he cried with a lamentable voice. The king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And then Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men that had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces before they came to the bottom of the den. So, Daniel's factious contemporaries plotted against him, but met their doom at the hands of the king, which really, I believe, has a double meaning of God and the beast. Remember, the beast will be used to devour the harlot, right? And, of course, God is the king that's over all the kings. He's the king of kings. So that's why I say there is a double meaning here. And Pamela offers a prayer here at the end of her revelation, and she says, Father, thank you for this warning dream. Let it and any teaching generated from it save souls from destruction. Father, have mercy on your physical and elect children who have unfit parents. In your mercy, save them. Grant them repentance. Help them to live a life pleasing to you. Yes, I might add just a little thing in the middle of this prayer, and that is, Father, we pray that those who have been taken into captivity by the harlot, by the factious, and by the evil government, be set free to follow you. Lord, you've shown us that the elect among them will be set free. They will return to you, and they will return to the New Testament spiritual leadership of Jerusalem and David. Thank you, Father. And Pam goes on to say, keep them from the world and its false allures and evil enticements. Father, have mercy on your elect people who have fallen into apostasy. And that is, again, that word means falling away, backsliding. Get them on another track. Turn them back to you. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear. Father, we thank you for your divine plans and protection. Thank you for the reminder through the book of Daniel that evil and reprobate people can plan all kinds of evil for us, but we will not be taken in it. Instead, they will be the ones caught in it. Hallelujah. You are worthy of all praise. This is so. This is so. It is God's plan. He pronounces it over and over and over. And we've received many verses lately in our morning prayer meeting by Faith at Random that point to judgments coming on those who have brought their brethren into captivity by faction and slander. And the government, too. And here's a text that speaks of the apostate faction judged and their elect captives returned. 2 Chronicles 28, 8 through 11. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren. You remember they had apostatized, the children of Israel did. Of their brethren, 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. And by the way, the factious are generally thieves. Not only the ones in the government are thieves, but the ones in the church are thieves consistently. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded. And he went out to meet the host that came to Samaria, and said unto them, behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and you have slain them in a rage which has reached up to heaven. Yes, it's a crucifixion by the wicked again, by the bondmaid again, right? And Israel was truly in bondage. They worshipped a false Jesus, a golden calf. They made preachers out of people who were not ordained, etc. And now you purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you. But are there not even with you trespasses of your own against the Lord your God? Now hear me, therefore, and send back the captives that you have taken captive of your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. Yes, and it is at this time. Now here's a text that speaks of those who were kin in some time in history, plotting against their brethren, God's people, to kill and to take them captive and to steal their land. But God judged their faction. Psalm 83 and 1. You'll recognize this, but you probably may have never applied it to this situation, but the Lord did for us. Because Israel had many Judases, that came against them. Psalm 83 and 1, a psalm of Asaph. O God, keep not thou silence, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They take crafty counsel against thy people, and consult together against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. I remember reading of their wishes to destroy me, to cause me to die and to pass on out, you know, and sending, of course, they've sent witchcraft, and the Lord has identified that for us, sent witchcraft against us many times. And when the Lord gives us dreams about it, we just cast it down, you know. For they have consulted together with one consent. Against thee do they make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites. Remember, the Ishmaelites thought they were the seed of Abraham that was to succeed. And of course, Edom is Esau's bunch. So there you have those that were actually kin to God's people turning on them. And Moab too, you know. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarines. You remember Hagar. Gebel and Ammon and Amalek. Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. Selah. Do thou unto them as unto Midian, as to Sisera, as to Jabin at the river Kishon, who perished at Endor, who became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeeb, yea, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, Let us take to ourselves in possession the habitations of God. O God, make them like the whirling dust, as stubble before the wind, as the fire that burneth the forest, and as the flame that setteth the mountains on fire. So pursue them with thy tempest, terrify them with thy storm. Fill their faces with confusion, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Remember, we talked about those who would be elect of God, would repent and return, and those who would not. So he says, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. But now he's talking about the others, the two-thirds that don't. Let them be put to shame and dismayed forever. Yea, let them be confounded and perish. So seeking the name and perishing shows the two different groups there. That they may know that thou alone, whose name is the Lord, art the Most High over all the earth. Well, amen. The Lord has treated a pestilence. He is which will come through Babylon's deep state, we believe. But God will use it to punish the factious and apostates. And so this fits very well with what we've been teaching on that. And lest anyone not believe that God is in absolute control over who lives and dies in a plague, all they have to do is remember the Passover, which spared the righteous who lived under the blood, but the pestilence or plague destroyed the wicked. That's in Exodus 12. God is in absolute control. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. He works all things after the counsel of his own will, he says. All things. And this was just before the Red Sea destruction of Pharaoh and his deep state army. And then the man-child Moses brought the people into the wilderness, which Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 declare is the tribulation. Now here's some texts that we receive that foreshadow these things, this pestilence and so on. Ezekiel 6 and 11 through 13. Thus saith the Lord, smite with thy hand and stamp with thy foot and say, alas, because of all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by the pestilence. Remember Las Vegas, where the deep state was aligned with the criminals in Saudi Arabia to kill a bunch of people. They, to them, it's just a satanic sacrifice. They think they get power this way, and so on. They've been totally demon-possessed. They fall by the sword, by famine. They're working on the famine. They're destroying the lands. They've been doing it for years, where the crops are all, the breadbasket, where the crops are all grown. And by the pestilence. So here they go. I believe this is speaking of them, what they're planning on doing. They've already been spraying us with their own man-made chemical pestilence. And by the way, recently they've discovered that these hospitals are full of people which, when they send in their culture to be tested, they found out that almost all of them did not have the flu. They did not have the flu. I've been saying that. It's not the flu. And not only that, since the elite and the doctors make money by selling you the flu shot, they put the flu on top of these people that are sick with this other stuff, which gives them the flu too. And the flu vaccine is full of things that destroy your ability to cast off sickness, that destroys your immune system. So that's why 7 out of every 8 people that die because they took the flu vaccine on top of this other thing that's coming out of the chemtrails. Astounding. He that is far off, and do you think they won't do something worse when they get mad enough to have to try to get rid of a bunch of people? I mean, keeping people sick is a way to make lots of money. Dying, you don't make much money. Okay, but if they're threatening you with their new government, you tend to want to get rid of people. Okay. He that's far off shall die of the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon them. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols, round about their altars, upon every high hill, and all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick oak, the places where they offered sweet savor to all their idols. And Christians are full of idols, including their religions. Jeremiah 32 and 36 and 37. And now, therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof you say, it's given into the hand of the king of Babylon, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my wrath, and in great indignation, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. These are the people that are going to escape those judgments. They're the elect that return. Habakkuk 3, 4 through 6. And his brightness was as the light. He had rays coming forth from his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. He is hiding his power. He uses all things for his children, all things. Before him went the pestilence, and fiery bolts went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. This judgment upon the nations that are round about his people. And the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills did bow. His goings were as of old. Everybody wondered, where is the God that did this and that and the other? The one who parted the Red Sea. It says his goings were as of old. In other words, he's going to do just like that. And all of this will be spoken into existence by the man-child as Moses destroyed the wicked captors. They told Pharaoh, don't you know Egypt is destroyed? Told Pharaoh. Malachi 4:1, for behold, the day cometh, and it burneth as a furnace. And all the proud, and all that work wickedness, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. That's what we need. We need to drain the swamp. Get the wickedness out. Give us a fresh start here. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and gambol as the calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day that I make, says the Lord of hosts. And I don't know whether you know it or not, but the deep state don't really have to worry about the people they're worrying about. It's God's people who know faith and know what's going on and pray that they need to worry about, because they're being brought down by prayer and by faith. And so are the wicked in Christianity that rule over God's people. Will not set them free. That have caused factions between the different denominations and churches and things. These people who lead other people into factions. Remember what Jesus said, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. Well, Father, Lord, you've told us there are many people who profess to be Christians who are about to die. And when we asked you how, one of the things you brought to us was this pestilence. And we received a dream recently that it looked like this was going to come in winter. And I asked, Lord, is this physical winter or spiritual winter? Because winter is a time of death. Represents death, like spring represents resurrection. And I believe in that same thing you were saying, that the man-child would receive the bride in spring. And again I asked, Lord, is this a spiritual spring, resurrection life, or is this our literal spring that's coming? And I haven't gotten an answer yet, but I'm still asking. So, either way, we would be pretty close to something here. And I remember Eve's dream about Moses, the man-child, driving a John Deere tractor with a farm wagon behind it. And Eve was in the wagon, and he was going into the wilderness. And it was spring. So, anyway. Well, Father, we thank you for this get together here today, Lord. We pray that everyone, be overcomers, that they forsake the wicked, they come out of their apostate institutions to follow you, and seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all the other things will just be added unto them. We thank you, Father, for taking good care of your people. Thank you so much for your mercy towards us, Lord. We don't deserve it. Thank you for granting us repentance in all things that are contrary to your will and your ways. Thank you, Lord, for taking down the wicked who have taken advantage of your people. Thank you for setting the captives free to serve you in their kingdom, their true kingdom of God, which is being rebuilt in this tribulation to come. Thank you so much, Father. Your mercy and your grace is unbelievable. It's just awesome. Thank you. Well, all right, saints, thank you for being with us today, and God bless you and keep us in your prayers. And we'll do the same for you. Good night.